Now let's continue on. And what I want you to do, instead of being depressed about this, use it as a tool to analyze what you see taking place in the world. Because God says that it will be well with the righteous. See? He will watch over you. Come here to Isaiah 3. Okay? Isaiah 3. Let's pick it up here in verse 8. Isaiah 3, verse 8. Verse 8, Isaiah 3. For Jerusalem is staggering, Judah has fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. Are we doing that with our atheism? Are we doing that with trying to get God out of the schools? Yes, we are. The look of their faces witnesses against them. They declare their sin like Sodom. They hide it not. Woe to their soul, for they have rewarded evil to themselves. Hey? Say to the righteous, it shall be well with him. See? So if you're loving God and keeping his commandments in spite of what's going on in the world, God is going to watch out for you. Now put in your margin there Psalm 91, which we've gone over many, many, many times, which is the psalm of rescue in times of disaster. Okay. Say to the righteous, it will be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. Woe to the wicked, the evil doing of his hand shall be given to him. All you have to do is just look at the Middle East, what's going on there. I mean, look at Syria. What a horrible place. No one can do anything. People are so set in their evil that they won't stop and change and turn. No one has any compassion. No one has any love. No one has any concern. Those who do, their hands are tied. They can't do anything. Woe to the wicked, for the evil doing of his hand shall be given to him. Come back here to chapter 1, just one page back. Now, all of these things start out a little at a time, a little at a time. Incrementalism, incrementalism, incrementalism. Little change, little change, little change, little change. Then no one will notice it. See? Then all of a sudden, voila, what do you have? Something that's unrecognizable. Isaiah 1, let's pick it up here in verse 4. A sinful nation, a people burdened with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One to anger. They have gone away backward. And we're right at this point now. We're right at a point that if there were enough people to do some things that are right, and I don't know how it's going to work out with the election, but if there are enough people doing right that want to straighten things out, then the current regime will go. If not, the current regime will stay and get worse, because that will be our punishment. So God says, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the top of the head, there is no soundness in it, only wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed nor bound up nor soothed with ointment. Now that's all the crime, all the sex sins, drug sins, gangs, evil business practices, including banks, businesses, insurance companies, con artists, the whole thing, neighbors evil against neighbor, all of it. Your country is a desolation. Now, it doesn't become a desolation all at once. But now we can see. Look at what Colorado is going to be like after these fires. Okay? It's going to be desolate. And remember where the drought started. What if that goes the way it did then? Strangers devour your land right in your very presence, selling to overseas countries and people. And it is wasted, is overthrown by strangers. Verse 8, it's like a besieged city. Now verse 9 shows a little hope again. See, what God does every time there is a lot of things that we need to understand which are not good, that are hard to take, and they are hard to take, God gives a little encouragement. So verse 9, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we would have been as Sodom, we would have become like Gomorrah. Okay. Then he talks about, why do you have all of these things that you're doing to me and you won't change? Okay. So here's what God says. Verse 16, now we don't know how many people will do this and to what degree they will do it. Verse 16, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil. Now that's what God would honor. Now like with the government, if they finally balance the budget, get rid of the waste, quit doing things against the people, then God will pull back his hand to correction. He said, learn to do good, seek judgment, reprove the oppressor, judge the orphan, plead for the widow. Now here's what God wants. See, God is always merciful, but it has to start with each individual. Now, I don't know if there will be groups of people that will do this together, but God says, here's a promise. You can claim this promise. Verse 18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So we're right at the junction. Which way are we going to go? Are we going to go to do good? Or are we going to continue with the evil that we're doing? Okay. Verse 20, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. See, now when God says he's spoken it, it's going to happen. God's word is always effective, works automatically. How has the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, and your wine is mixed with water. Your rulers are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and is pursuing rewards. They do not judge the orphan, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. Okay? Now, let's come back to Deuteronomy 28. I want to talk a little bit about the process that we see unfolding right in front of our eyes. And we're going to talk about money and lending, which gets into the banking system. Okay? Our enemies hold enough money to buy our banks. What would happen if that occurred? Nobody thought of that. Okay, good question. Can't the government pass a law to prevent those banks from being bought? Okay, they could, but they won't, because the countries will say, you pass a law that we can't buy this bank? We're not going to buy your bonds anymore. What do you think is going to happen? Okay, now verse 43. Deuteronomy 28, verse 43, page 321. The stranger dwelling among you, now the stranger are those who are not born in the country, shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. Now question, what is very high? What is very low? We don't know, because we've always been on the high side, right? Yes, indeed. Now remember, as we have discussed before, all the prophecies of God are fulfilled to the maximum. So what does this really mean? Also, go back and read in the book of Judges and 1 and 2 Kings and the prophets and see what God did to punish the people and all the chances he gave to them to repent. And they didn't do it. What happened to them? He shall get above you very high, and you shall come down very low. Now, in addition to that, let's read on. Remember where we read, if you did what God said, you would lend to nations, wouldn't have to borrow? Now verse 44 shows that's reversed. He shall loan to you, and you shall not loan to him. Is that happening? Been happening for a long, long time. So much so that we are in real trouble. Because, you see, the old rule is always true. He who holds the gold makes the rules. In other words, the one who controls the finances makes the rules, and there just ain't too much the average person can do about it. You know? Give you an example. What if you go to the bank Monday morning because Greece voted to get out of the EU and reject the euro, and the banks are under Federal Reserve orders to restrict withdrawals, and you come in and say, I need to draw out $3,000. Sorry, because of the emergency, the most you can have is $300. Well, how long will that be? Well, we don't know, because we can't have a run on the bank. All right, now notice what else. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Are we at a tipping point, getting closer and closer to that? Think about that. Yes, indeed. Now, how's it going to come about? What is going to happen? Because the whole worldwide banking system is now becoming more and more coordinated. So if one bank goes, one country goes, it just like tipping that first domino. Have you ever seen these things where they set up all the dominoes? They spend a long time, make a huge big thing out of these dominoes, and then ding, and they start going till the last one goes down. Okay? Now I've got a report here. I'll summarize some of it. Hyperinflation 2012 may be delayed to 2014. Just depends on what happens. This is kind of a technical report, so I won't bother you with all the technicalities of it. I'll just read you certain paragraphs of it. Shadow government statistics, hyperinflation 2012. With no visible or politically practical way of balancing the U.S. fiscal conditions and avoiding this financial economic Armageddon. It's going to happen. All states are in debt. Are they not? Yes, indeed. The government's in debt. Yes, indeed. Government agencies have bonds. They're in debt. Yes, indeed. Individuals are in debt. They have mortgages on houses and buildings, don't they? The best actions that individuals can take at this point remains to protect themselves, both as to meeting short-term survival needs as well as to preventing current wealth and assets, preserving, rather, current wealth and assets over the longer term. Now, what does that mean? Therefore, these efforts would encompass building a store of key consumables, such as food and water. Because how many supplies do the stores have? Well, what they have is inventory. I forget what they call it, but it's inventory on demand. They don't have warehouses full of stuff. They have it delivered so that they cover their needs for a certain number of days. Now, what if all of a sudden half the population of Hollister, which would be probably over 10,000, they went to all the supermarkets here in town, started buying up, loading up their carts. You think everybody would get an equal share? You think they would be loving and helping and sharing?
Sure.
All right. Moving assets to physical precious metals and outside the U.S. dollar. Then it shows a chart here what's happening to the number of dollars growing up. Now, out here, we have what is known as Costco. Now, Costco has been a warehouse type of market where you can buy things at low price. Well, the other day, Dolores discovered that for the same pack of blueberries at Costco, it cost $2 more than at Trader Joe's. Cheese, one kind of cheese we like, they don't do it anymore. And the price went up from $9 to $14. That's the way it's going to go. That is inflation. Now, hyperinflation is where I started by showing you that German mark, 100,000. They had million, 5 million, 10 million. Okay. Now, here is when you're going to know it's going to take off and be in trouble. How many have heard of QE2? You know what QE is? Quantitative easing. What is that? That's a nice way of saying, since the system is running out of money, we'll print more and put it into circulation. Okay. Now, what happened to that? It will reach the point that the Federal Reserve will have no alternative to prevent any imminent collapse, as has been seen in official activities in the last several years, because of the QE thing. Okay. They will create and spend whatever money is needed, including deliberate debasement of the dollar with the intent of increasing domestic inflation. Purposeful intent of doing it. Now, another thing that is not in this report, which is interesting, how many have heard of the G20? And I've spoken of the G20. The 20 major central banks in the world. Okay, remember what happened after 2008? First thing they did, they said, we're going to form G20, leading nations of the world, get all the bank regulations the same. Okay. Now that is expanded out to be 150 central banks, all interwoven together. So what's going to happen? All right, let's talk a little bit more here about debt. Have you ever heard of GAAP, G-A-A-P? Okay. This is generally accepted accounting practices. In other words, meaning, be honest. So they haven't done it. Efforts to save the system at any cost will likely continue as long as possible, with the government spending whatever money it and the Federal Reserve need to create until such a time as the global financial markets rebel. The ultimate cost here, though, will be in inflation and the increasing debasement of purchasing power of the U.S. dollar and the eventual dollar collapse beyond any government or Federal Reserve control. This is hyperinflation nears. So what will have to happen is this. They will have to increase the money supply. I wonder if we're going to see increased denomination of bills. But they also know that with hyperinflation, you're stuck with a problem. They brought up about YK2, had to reset all the computers and all of that sort of thing. Think what it is if you have to change prices every day, then twice a day, then three times a day, then four times a day. That's what happened in Germany. It got totally out of hand. Okay. So it says, the early stages of hyperinflation will be marked simply by an accelerating upturn in consumer prices. Have we had that? Yes, indeed. A pattern that was already initiated in response to QE2. Money supply velocity will spike as the dollar again comes under heavy and even disorderly selling pressure. That's what happened in 2008. Now, the worst thing that the government has done, and this is in collusion with the bankers and the government, to make securitized mortgage securities. And then you trade them like stocks and bonds on the market. So that's how all the prices got inflated up. Up, 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 up. And I remember when Davises were living here in Fairfield, he was a foreman building houses. And they just kept building and building and building and building. And the prices would go up. 200,000, now 300,000, now 400,000 for the same house. And then build a little bigger one, 500,000, a little bigger one, 600,000. And he said, they can't build them fast enough. I said, well, where's all the money coming from? He said, I don't know. That's the housing bubble. See? You inflate it, you inflate it, you inflate it. Now what they want to do, because the housing bubble has burst, Now they want to securitize loans for multiple dwelling places like apartments and have the government secure that. So it shows the insanity of it. So then what will happen? Both domestic and foreign holders getting rid of their dollar holdings as quickly as possible. They're going to say, I want to get out of this before there is nothing left. All right? Let's come over here to the book of Proverbs. All right? Proverbs 23. Here's what they're going to try to avoid. But you see, with the hair trigger, stock market, buying and selling, and being worldwide, you have to be awake 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, sitting right there in front of your computer screen, watching your investments. Because in 2008, when the sell-off came, the price went down, shoom, and was ready to cause a mortal wound to the U.S. banking system because of all of these phony baloney securitized mortgage securities. Okay? Proverbs 23, verse 4. Do not worry yourself to be rich. Cease from your own wisdom. When your eyes look upon it, that is wealth, and this is so true today, it is gone. For surely riches make wings for themselves, and they fly into heaven like an eagle. And a fellow who wrote the book, The Day the Dollar Crashes, he says, all your money goes to money heaven. That's what happens with hyperinflation. Oh, I've got my 401k of $500,000. Really? Inflation takes off, hyperinflation. In a year, it could be worth $20,000. That's your retirement. So all of this phony baloney stuff that they have, it's just not going to work. All right. Let me see what else I can find here. Then here's a chapter, Federal Reserve, Systemic Solvency, and Inflation versus Deflation. All right. I won't bore you with the facts of it, but they're going to try and manipulate the system by adding money, by taking away money, to try and keep inflation down and to keep deflation from occurring. But you can't balance it out. Now then it talks about the money base. See, remember, if they're not making loans, there's no money being created. And when the loan are contracting and people are getting out of debt, there's less and less and less and less and less money. And now who knows where the money is gone because so much of it is digitized. Who knows if there's any gold in Fort Knox? Okay. So here's what's happening right now. Fundamentally, banks, instead of lending to their customers, are placing high levels of excess reserves with the Fed. As a result, bank lending is down. Small businesses and consumers are experiencing a horrific liquidity squeeze. This practice continues despite the Fed's QE2 buying of Treasury securities. The QE2 was designed to help keep the stock market up because the Fed is the lender of last resort. And they have to have, at least ostensibly, they have to have a reserve of assets on which to lend money. One of them is the depository trust company, which holds all the original stocks and bonds. All right, so here's what to look for. He says, late 2013, beginning 2014, money growth and velocity will increase. The U.S. hyperinflation very much will reflect a complete loss of confidence in the dollar. When that hits, okay, the Fed has primed the system for explosive money supply growth. All that it is needed is a pickup in bank lending. The Fed's initial moves to debase the dollar worked, impairing the dollar's currency exchange rate from falling. and triggering commodity inflations fueled by weak dollar policy. This has also helped set the stage for a global dumping of the dollar and dollar-denominated assets. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means this. And it was interesting. Last night on the news, they had a special report about this very thing. Before China collapsed, when it had the gold standard, I think that was before World War II. Okay. When China collapsed, they said, we're not paying any more of the bonds. But the future government is indebted to pay it to you. Okay. Guess how many trillions of dollars worth of that old debt the United States holds? 4 trillion. Now, do you think they're going to honor that? Let us see. That was the question of the report. So they're going to start selling it. Someone has $100 million worth of treasuries. We need to get out of it immediately. What will we receive? What will you give us for it? Well, $100 million? Let's see. I'll give you $10 million. Got it. You take it. Now go try and collect. So you come to the government money window and say, I've got $100 million worth of debt here. I want to collect. Sorry, we're out of money. So that thing begins to escalate. And think of all of the instant electronic trading around the world. I mean, it's going to be chaos. All right? A rapid influx of unwanted dollars from abroad would either collapse the financial markets or force the Fed to flood the system with incoming liquidity, monetizing dumped U.S. Treasury, among other things. So what they would say, well, we've got the printing presses running, and in 5 minutes we'll have the money for you. You want to take it? So as that intensifies, dollar-based inflation mounts. People are going to say, I need a raise. The grocery store says, I need a higher price. Utilities companies say, your bill is doubling next month. Now that's hyperinflation. See? Holders of dollars increasingly will not want to hold them long in turn, raising the velocity of money, so the cycle of inflation begins to accelerate, all with a still impaired government activity. So what are you going to do? Well, he gives things to do, that is, have some supplies on hand, get out of debt as much as you can, have a store of money on hand. If you have some gold and silver, that's going to help carry you through. Who knows what's going to happen? But know this, when that hits, it is going to be every man for himself. It will not be love your neighbor as yourself. And they will get and take whatever they can from whomever they can, wherever they can get it. Now then, if it gets worse, you read Deuteronomy 28 and Lamentations. See? Because if you think what I'm bringing up here is hard to handle, wait until the reality of it hits. And it will hit. So have some food stocks. Take care of yourself. Be careful. Don't get stuck in a difficult position with lots of debt. Now, exactly how it's going to work out, you put all these things together, it's going to lead to really a very difficult proposition. And I remember one of the very first sermons that I gave back in 1995. And the sermon I gave was talking about all the unfunded debt that we have. Now, that has quadrupled. And back in 1995, I said, brethren, get out of debt. If you have enough money, buy some gold, buy some silver. Guess what gold was selling for at that time? $270 an ounce. If this breaks out, there's no telling where the price of gold will go. And if you sell it, how much good is the paper money going to do you? So you can use that for some reserve to keep yourself afloat and you know, buy a few things, but be very careful how you handle it. And then you have to be trusting in God. You have to be claiming his promises. Ask for his angels to be about you. Ask for God to watch over you. Because hyperinflation is going to come. And the words of the prophecies are going to take place. So if you have things you need to do, get them done now. This is why this past 2 years for the church, I've been building up a supply of all books, building up a supply of things that we need. So in case there is hyperinflation, we have it paid for. If there's depression and no money, we have it paid for. And so that there will be an adequate reserve also to help see us through the rough times. Now, what's going to come out at the other end? There's going to come a world currency. I've covered that many, many times. And with all the things that are going on, it looks like we're considerably further from the finality of the end than we have thought. So we need to continue doing what we need to do. Okay, well, we'll go ahead and end it here. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.